I struggled this past week because of the times in which we're living. And Laurel will attest to this. Before I left Monday morning, I said to her, I am not too sure if I should bring a Mother's Day message in that times are changing and some people get a little bit annoyed when you try to single out women as though they are special. And I want to say I think they are. As the week went on, I am convinced that it was proper for me to do so. And it was actually verified by what happened in Toronto on Monday night, as I then listened to the radio when I got home from the meetings in which I was attending. In the light of that, I'm going to ask you to turn to an Old Testament book called Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. I came across two very interesting thoughts this past week in preparation for this morning's message. Abraham Lincoln said it. He said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. No man is poor who has a godly mother. And then someone else came up with this very wonderful thought, which ties in with the message this morning. And it goes as follows. If you would like to change a nation from all its vices, populate that nation with mothers. If you would like to change a nation from all its vices, populate that nation with mothers. History, biblical history, shows that whenever God was about to do something for a nation, He always began that work in the home, and interestingly enough, He began by dealing not so much with the fathers as He does with the mothers. All through the Bible, this is so. The angel only appeared to Joseph after he struggled with Mary's pregnancy. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah after he struggled with his appearance to his wife. And God continues to speak that way. Allow me to, from Judges chapter 13, to share some thoughts which I believe are appropriate as we think of the times in which we're living, as well as the nature of the day being Mother's Day. Judges 13. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had borne no children. By the way, it might sound repetitive to say his wife was barren and had no children. If she was barren, she had no children. But in the Hebrew, when that kind of double expression is used, it is to show the importance of the thing, because to a Hebrew woman, nothing is more deplorable than to be married and not to have children. That is one of the lowest as far as they're concerned. Then the angel of the Lord, note, not an angel, but the angel of the Lord, appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite, separated to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel from her 40 years of captivity. The nation was in trouble. It was not the first time. The nation had sinned against God again and again and again. The nation had lost its moorings. The nation had lost its way. The nation had experienced spiritual darkness. In fact, the life of Manoah's wife was somewhat a picture of the nation spiritually. She had no children, no offspring. She was barren, and so was the nation of Israel. It was spiritually barren. What do we need when a nation gets to the place where it is in spiritual darkness, spiritual delusion, and spiritual deception? What do we do? What do we need? Well, some would say, we need a new political party. Get the right party and things will change. Well, friends, we have gone through that too many times not to believe the saying that the more things change, the more they remain the same. It's amazing, is it not? That as you listen to the parties, whether they be in Ottawa or... by the way, I discovered something. I just discovered this. Do you know what used to occupy the location, the building that Queen's Park now sits on? This is Ontario history, and this was not even supposed to be a part of the message this morning. It was occupied by an insane asylum. That's true. Now you understand why things go the way they do. You go back in history books, you'll find that out. As I listen to these parties, and the ones that used to be in opposition, that's now in leadership, sounds like the one that used to be in opposition, and the one that's in leadership sounds like the one that used to be in opposition. The more things change, the more they remain the same. I mean, I couldn't believe the other day when I listened to the premier of the province saying that certain things he did not consider it to be wrong. I remember just a few short years ago when that was not only wrong, it was an abomination. But change location and you change philosophy. What do you do? My friends, in the nation of Israel, in its darkest and deepest hour, I want you to see how God responded. Quickly, look at the rebuke of the nation. The rebuke of the nation. And we will see the rebuke by the activities of that nation. The activities of the nation will show you why the nation was rebuked. First of all, from verse 1, we learn that the activities of the nation were woeful. Listen to what the text says. Now the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord again. Evil. In the Hebrew, there are just two letters in that word. Just two letters. And that word literally covers, my friends, a multitude of bad behaviors. But I want to name just three of them that it covers this morning for us, because it identifies us with them as to why God had to rebuke the nation. First of all, in 1 Kings 14 and 9, the first evil that Israel committed and the continuous evil that they practiced was idolatry. They had given up on the God who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, who had brought them through the wilderness, and they actually chose the gods around them, and they became an idolatrous nation. That was the evil they committed. Secondly, immoral human behavior. Immoral human behavior. And this is seen for us in Judges chapter 19. In fact, I just read it for you and see if you can identify what is happening here. Judges 19, verse 23. Perhaps 22. While they were making merry, behold, the men of the city, certain worthless fellows, surrounded the house, pounding the door, and they spoke to the owner of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring out the man who came into your house that we may have relations with him." Then the owner of the house, went out and said to them, "No, my fellows, please do not act so wickedly. Since this man has come into my house, do not commit this act of folly. And here is the degradation, my friends, of a nation." Listen to what he says. "Here is my virgin daughter, and here is his concubines. Please let me bring them out to you, that you may ravish and do to them whatever you wish." Immoral human relationships. Idolatry leads to that. And I don't need to spell it out for you. I almost wondered if I should read it this morning, but it's in the Bible, so you will read it for yourself. The third thing that was practiced in the days of the judges was what I call the eliminating of human life. The eliminating of human life. Jeremiah was taken and he was put in a dungeon to die. The ultimate reason for putting him in that dungeon was that he would die. In other words, kill anyone that gets in your way. What happened in Nova Scotia this past week at the McDonald's shop? 4 innocent workers in these hard economic times with bullet holes in the back of their heads for no other reason than that they were doing their jobs. Listening to the news this past week in New York, they found a 12-year-old girl, a 12-year-old girl with a bullet hole in the back of her head. What about Christian French? Here, friends, the rebuke of the nation is seen by its activities. Idolatry, no place for God. Illicit human relationships. The killing of people as though life does not matter. But secondly, their activity was not only woeful, their activities were willful. They did it again and again and again. Again, 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 again. Repeating, 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 repeating. They had gotten used to it. That good became evil, and evil stayed evil. And as a result of that, God abandoned them. What does the text say? "And the Lord gave them." The King James has a strong word. "The Lord delivered them." In other words, friends, God took his hands off the nation. He let them go in the way they wanted to go. And Romans chapter 1 says, when God takes his hands off a nation, no one can tell what that nation will become. They were released by God. And the text says, for 40 years, that's not just time saving, friends. That 40 years is saying that they were retained by God. God said, "I will take my hands off for one whole generation. And I will begin with a new generation." Sometimes, my friends, when a generation of people persist in their evil ways, God will let that generation go the way it wants to go, and he will start with a new generation. And this is what we see, how God rescued the nation. He rescued the nation by starting a new generation. Judges chapter 13, verses 2 to 5. "If a nation is to be rescued from its spiritual darkness, it will take divine intervention." Someone has said, my friends, that the difference between the French Revolution and the English Revolution was that the English Revolution was spiritual, the French Revolution was military. The only thing that saved Britain from ultimate catastrophe was that John Wesley, Charles Wesley, George Whitefield, and others preached the gospel, and men and women were changed from within to change things without. And this is precisely the way God works throughout history. Divine intervention. Let's look at the visitor's identity. divisive identity. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. Here, my friends, is the dignity that God gives to womanhood. Not an angel. This whole term, the angel of the Lord, is what theologians call a theophany. It means it's the pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. And he went not to Manoah, who was the head of the house. The manifestation of God came to the one who was going to be a channel only for the blessed master. He went to the woman, the second person of the Trinity, whose name is secret, whose name is incomprehensible, whose name is beyond human understanding. This one who is going to speak to the woman must identify himself first, because what he has to say can only be performed by someone who is indeed the angel of the Lord. Angels cannot give life. Seraphim cannot give life. They're all the recipients of life. Only God can give life. And he appeared to this woman. He identified himself, the angel of the Lord. I don't want to go into what Manoah's response was later on. One of these days I'll preach about the value of a wife to a fainting husband. This is Manoah's wife. Her name is not even given, but her virtue is. Look at the visitor's information. The visitor's information. Visitor's information. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. How can this be? Said another virgin. This one was a mother, a wife before. But the virgin mother said, how can this be? Manoah had lived with his wife and there was no offspring. And God was going to intervene, and he was going to intervene not only for the sake of Manoah and his wife, my friends, he was going to intervene because of the need of the nation. Because of the spiritual darkness the nation was in, God was going to intervene because he was about to rescue the nation. And may I say it without any apologies? I do not know, dear friends, I do not know what the will of God is for Danielle. I do not know what the will of God is for Christopher. I do not know what the will of God is for the beautiful children God has given to us. But may I say at the very outset, none of the children in this congregation are accidents of a husband and a wife. You probably, some of you have heard this, please forgive me, but it's fresh in my mind. When Christopher was about to be born, I thought, oh God, I can't, not another child. We had only one. I am going to be 52 when he is born. Oh God, no. And I remember Roz Doherty. I don't know if she remembers this. Roz Doherty came to me and she must have seen the struggles I was going through. And she said to me, if you were not a Christian, you would consider abortion. What a rebuke. I said, you know, you might be right. If you were not a Christian. And as I was struggling with this, no angel appeared to me. But my friends, as I talked to you, the conviction that God was speaking to my heart. What is the condition of the world? What can save the world? Then only Christians can produce salt. Only Christians can produce salt. And oh, friends, once I accepted that, what a joy. And what I would have missed if I had done anything else. I don't know what God has for these little lives. But my friends, when God wants to rescue a nation, he appears to a mother. And he produces a child from that mother's womb. And that child is destined in ways that you and I know nothing about to do something. He begins with a fresh generation to bring a nation back to its senses. Time does not allow me to develop that. Divine identity, divine intervention. But look at the divine instruction. Look at the divine instruction. Judges 13 and 4. Now therefore be careful, or beware, take heed, not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. The life of the mother, the lifestyle of the mother, was important to the carrying of God's answer. Friends, I am not here to argue with the abortion people. I am not. I have little time for that. I know what the Bible says, and that I believe. But I will tell you what I'm here to say. That we might not drink strong drink, we might not eat unclean meat, but I tell you the attitudes that we give to those children in the womb can actually be almost a prediction of the way they'll come out of the womb. God says what you put into your body will come out of the womb. Be careful. The nation's answer lies in you. And if you abort that by what you put into your body, you will interfere with my plans. What a lesson. What a lesson. The life of the mother is the channel that God uses to rescue a nation. Abraham Lincoln was so right. All that I am and all that I have, I owe to my godly mother. China has, my friends, 50 or more than that, million Christians today. You know why? Because Hudson Taylor's mother spent time before Hudson was born and after he was born to make sure that she prepared herself for whatever God had for his life. And the Overseas Missionary Fellowship was born the day Hudson Taylor was born, but he didn't know that. God did. God did. The life of the mother. But look at the life from the mother. The life from the mother. I am amazed at this. Because the life from the mother, just one word, and I close with this. For you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. He will come pure and clean without any intoxication from the world in which you are. There is idolatry, there is immorality, there are all these things, but you keep yourself pure and you will bring forth purity. But children are not automations. And he, here's the word, and he shall begin to deliver Israel. He won't complete it. See, parents can't force children to accept Christ. They can't demand that they do. But when they have done the work, my friends, the rest is up to God, and God knew even before Samson came out of his mother's womb that he would simply be the first one from the starting line to bring Israel final delivery. Samuel was the one who ended it all, but Samson began it. The life from Manoah's wife was the beginning of God's answer for a nation in trouble. And I challenge every mother this morning. Fathers, your turn will come. But I challenge every mother to make a fresh commitment of their lives. If you are a mother who has never trusted Christ as your Savior, God can turn your life around and give you a future you did not expect or could not even contemplate. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, this is the time you can do it. A prayer from your heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake, can transform your life. But if you are a believing mother and you have been too busy to put into the lives or life of your children or child, as the case may be, the believing prayer that will send them into the world to rescue it, perhaps this is the day you need to make a fresh commitment of your life to do so. to say, Lord, time has cheated me out of putting into my life those things which I can put into the lives of my children. Beginning today, I want to start.